Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Dental Assistant Nation podcast. My name is Kevin Henry, founder of the Dental Assistant Nation, and thrilled as always to be joined by not only a dear friend of mine, but a dear friend of the podcast as well. And that is Mary Gavone, CDA, RDH. Hey, Mary, how are you?
I am great, Kevin. Thank you. And thanks for having me back again.
You know what? I feel like that whenever I get an email from you saying something's important, you know my ears perk up, and I'm always thrilled that you have our audience's mind. So thank you for reaching out to me, because it's a timely topic we're going to talk about today.
It absolutely is. And I appreciate that you want to make sure through DA Nation that you get good, accurate information out there to everyone.
Well, and so everybody knows, you know, I've had her introduce herself, I think, a million times by now. But Mary is one of the preeminent infection control thought leaders out there, very active in OSAP. If you don't know what OSAP is, you need to go to osap.org. Critical information for your infection control needs in the practice. But Mary, let's talk about something that's gotten a lot of headlines, and that is about COVID isolation and what the CDC is saying. And I'm curious, what do our dental assistants need to know about what maybe they've seen in the news?
Well, what they need to know is what they've seen in the news, and we'll talk about what those new guidelines are for the general public. And it explicitly says in the guidance from the CDC that it's not for healthcare workers or healthcare settings. So we'll talk about what's still in force for the healthcare workers. And as I shared with you earlier, I heard the best quote by a newscaster this week, and it went something like, "The headlines giveth and the story details taketh away." So, you know, people heard this, oh, wow, COVID must be over. The CDC has eliminated the isolation guidelines and all these things. And then the details, of course, the devil's in the details of what it says. So if you read actually through the guidelines past the headline, it says that you may resume normal, this is general public guidelines, you may resume normal activities even if you have COVID, if it's been 24 hours since you had a fever without taking any fever reducing medications. But it also says that you should still take some precautions. If you know you have COVID, you've tested positive, you're starting to feel a little better, if you're going out and about, then you should wear a mask. So that probably won't be popular with a lot of the people who don't like doing that, but you're still sick and you're still infectious. So that's kind of controversial with some of the infection control experts that are out there. So we still have to be careful. And I was pleasantly surprised yesterday. I still wear a face mask when I fly. There were a lot of people on my flights yesterday wearing face masks. And I think that's a good thing, because once you're in that airplane and you're rebreathing that air in close proximity with those people, that's a great way to get sick. And of course, it's spring break time. And, you know, now that people think that they can just go about their normal activities, then you're going to see people who have symptoms, who maybe have COVID, who are going on vacation. So that's a scary thing, a very scary thing.
Okay. I want to ask you a couple of things from two different perspectives, if I can, about this. Number one, with the dental assistants, if the dental assistant comes down with COVID, what does he or she need to do about going into work and letting his or her boss, the dentist, know what's going on?
Well, that is so important, Kevin, because dental assistants, healthcare workers, certainly have obligations to keep their patients safe. And if you think about it, and you and I have talked about this before, that if you were screening your patients and telling them not to come into the office if they have COVID out of safety for other people, for other patients and coworkers, then why would you as a healthcare professional want to show up for work with symptoms? That would be a disaster. So if anyone on the dental team has respiratory symptoms, they should get tested. And the best thing to do is go to a pharmacy and get a what's called a PCR test. And the test they can do is for COVID, RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, and flu, so that you know if you have either any one of those, or maybe you even have more than one, you can be co-infected, which would be just a nasty little respiratory infection. If you have COVID, you test positive for COVID, you are to stay away from work according to the current CDC guidelines for healthcare workers for 7 days. And if after 7 days, your symptoms are improving and you have not had a fever for 24 hours without taking any kind of fever-reducing medications like Tylenol or ibuprofen, then you may return to work, but you still should wear a mask at all times, just like we did during COVID as source control. Now, there's some other specifications, I guess, is the best way to describe it, that come from the CDC based on the healthcare worker and their infection. So what I just described was for someone with mild to moderate symptoms and they're not in any way immunocompromised, meaning not taking any kind of immunosuppressive drugs like steroids, or they have any other underlying medical conditions. Now, if you do have some of those conditions, you're immunocompromised, then your isolation period is 10 days. And you need to, again, make sure that when you go back to work, that you have not had a fever for 24 hours, no fever-reducing medications, and you should be wearing a mask at all times. Many people say, well, do I need to test? Do I have to prove that I have a negative test? Well, a test-based strategy will probably result for some people in a longer isolation period because they may test positive for a long time. It doesn't mean they're necessarily still infectious. So the CDC sort of loosened up that requirement a long time ago for us. And the CDC may very well update the restrictions for healthcare workers because they haven't done that since 2022. But we still have to abide by those while they are in effect. Now, remember in the pandemic, if a healthcare worker, if a dental assistant had an exposure to someone with COVID, and it's called a high-risk exposure, so 15 minutes or longer, less than 6 feet of distance, not wearing any respiratory protection, then they had to automatically isolate for 10 days. But that no longer is in effect. So just because you've had an exposure, but you don't have any symptoms, you haven't tested positive for COVID, you do not have to be restricted from work and you're not required to wear a face mask.
There's a lot to remember. And I think that that's where we've got to trust the experts. We have to trust the guidance. We have to know what's going on. And that's where this update makes such a difference. And I want to go back to something you said earlier, because you said, you know, you wore your mask on the plane, and there are a lot of people that don't believe that's necessary or believe that's important. And that includes some of those patients who come into the practice. So, and I just want to make sure I'm understanding this. We're still, as a dental practice, under CDC guidance that we need to be explaining these type of things to our patients and making sure that they're keeping the workplace safe as well, correct?
Absolutely, Kevin, and that's such a great point. We should still, from now and forever, I guess is the best way to describe it, ask our patients prior to their appointment or on arrival, do you have any respiratory symptoms? And if they have some pretty severe respiratory symptoms that they will say are, you know, not allergy related, and especially if they have a fever, we shouldn't see them. So I'm a big advocate of asking that question in that confirmation message that you send out the day before as a reminder, or 2 days before. If you have respiratory symptoms, if you've had a fever, please let's reschedule your appointment for the safety of others and for our safety. So yeah, we still should screen. And a lot of people stopped doing that even before the pandemic was over, that, nah, we don't have to do that anymore. But we should. We should never, even before COVID, should never have allowed our patients to come in with respiratory infections, because it puts everybody at risk. And we know, looking back, that lots of dental practices would have big outbreaks of colds and flu if they had a patient that came in that had respiratory symptoms. We are working in a sea of aerosols, and so we're in a high-risk sort of environment. And just because the pandemic is over doesn't mean we drop all the safeguards. We learned so much during the pandemic that really needs to be ongoing infection prevention strategy.
You know, I was talking to a friend of mine during the Chicago Midwinter meeting, and we were talking about COVID. And one thing that she said that stuck with me was that while we're all tired of, you know, we've all got a little bit of that COVID numbness a little bit, where whenever we talk about it sometimes, you know, she was talking about how her practice has really been adamant about making sure the patients who have COVID don't come in. And her exact quote to me was, we don't let up on infection control in the back office, so why should we do it whenever they walk in our front door? And I love that thought. You know, that was just something really stuck with me, that it may not be the most popular decision, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, as I always say, with choices come consequences. And with that choice to let that patient in, you know, it could impact so many more people in that practice.
Absolutely. You're so right. And, you know, I didn't go to the Chicago Midwinter meeting because I had an upper respiratory infection and I didn't want to make other people sick and I wasn't feeling too great. So I was sorry to miss it. In past years, pre-COVID, I might have tried to stick it out, but no more. I think we have learned so much from COVID, good and bad. But the good part is, I think that we do pay closer attention to the potential spread of respiratory infections. And on sort of a side note, across the country right now, we're having, in many states, outbreaks of measles. And the thing to remember about measles is that it is also a respiratory infection. It can be spread through airborne particles. And those airborne particles, we know, can stay airborne from aerosols for up to 2 hours after someone's been in a dental facility. So we're using our handpieces, or they're sitting in the reception area and they're coughing and sneezing. So we need to be on our guard about that as well.
Yeah. It's a great point. And Mary, I know, you know, this is a little bit of a confusing topic. That's why I'm so thankful you came on to talk today. But I also know you're going to put together some resources that are going to be available for listeners and dental assistants and dental practices. Can I help them navigate through all this, right?
Absolutely, because as you said earlier, it's a lot of information and it is confusing. So I will put the resources from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on my website, mary@marygavoni.com. And you can click on those, you can read the information. And I also want to mention, too, that if you have questions, call the infectious disease specialists at the CDC. You can talk to them. You can talk to the people in the Division of Oral Health. And you can also call your local health department. They can help you understand what to do as well. If you have a healthcare worker that does have COVID, how long should they be restricted from work and so forth?
So wait, we shouldn't just go on Facebook and ask our friends what to do? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, please, don't even get me started. Yeah, Facebook is not a source of credible infection control and infectious disease transmission information. No.
Well, I can tell you one source that is. I mentioned OSAP.org earlier. I strongly encourage that. But I also strongly encourage something that you are involved with, and that is the Compliance Divas podcast as well. I know that you and your cohorts always get the right information, and you really boil it down for your listeners. And so I want to encourage the listeners of this podcast, make sure you're checking out the Compliance Divas podcast as well, because it's one that I love to listen to, because you guys make things that I think are a little bit hard, you make them very easy to digest.
Oh, well, thank you, Kevin. We try to do that. We try to keep everybody up to date. And I believe that we're going to be putting out a podcast with some info from the CDC. We'll talk about measles and COVID and all of that probably in another, it'll be up in about another couple of weeks. But I'm so glad we were able to get this information out to folks today, because it's not so simple. And, you know, it's hard not to get all excited about the headlines and not, again, read the rest of the story that may not exactly match what you think the headline says.
Amen to that, my friend. Well, I'm thankful for experts like you who kind of see through things and kind of boil it down for those of us who are looking for that guidance. So I always love talking to you, and I really appreciate you once again being on with our audience here, because I know that you've made a difference today. Thank you for that. And thanks to all of you who listened to this episode of the Dental Assistant Nation podcast. We love having people like Mary on who are experts in the field and have a heart for dental assistants. So until next time, Kevin Henry, host of Dental Assistant Nation, signing off, wishing you nothing but success ahead.